This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, welcome everybody. And when I say everybody, I mean everybody, everybody. You know, it says in the parsha, Ki kol ha'eda kulam kadoshim, which is why it's a double lashon. It should say Ki kol ha'eda kadoshim or Ki ha'eda kulam kadoshim. What's Ki kol ha'eda kulam kadoshim? So the truth is, we say this in tefillah on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. We say Milaich al kol ha'olam kulay bechvaydecha. What's al kol ha'olam kulay? You say Milaich al kol. What's al kol ha'olam kulay? So the Taz says this is a very appropriate lashon, because if you just say one kol, you might think rubam kakulam. So it means that Ribono Shel Olam rule over most of the world except for me. So therefore, you have to say kol ha'olam kulay. We don't utilize right, like Rabbi Yisrael Salanter would say, when you're being mamlech Hashem, when you say Shema over the seven rakiyim and the four corners of the world, also you should have in mind over you as well. Right? Because, you know, Hashem, don't forget about that. Hashem should be the melech over the whole world. Just, you know, leave me out of this. So you have to be the mamlech Hashem over yourself. So when I say everybody, I mean everybody, everybody. Okay. So this week's Haftarah, which comes from the Navi Shmuel, has an interesting similarity to the Parsha. Well, what is this Haftarah about? The Haftarah discusses when Shmuel said to the people, we're going to go to Gilgal and we're going to renew the king. And the people go up to Gilgal and they made Shaul, the king before Hashem in Gilgal. And they made Brook Harbanos there. And they rejoiced. And Shmuel said to Klal Yisrael, I have listened to your voice, to everything you said to me, and I made a king for you. Because the appointment of a king was not the idea of Hashem or Shmuel, as the people asked, give us a king like all the nations of the world. So we have a few interesting comments here, but the most obvious similarity, other than the fact that Shmuel is the whole reason why Korach began his rebellion, because Korach saw that Shmuel would come from him, and he knew that Shmuel was equal to Moshe and Aaron. So one of the things that Shmuel said is, Anubi, neged Hashem, v'neged Mashicha, yashar mi lakachti, v'chamor mi lakachti. Did I take a donkey or an ox from you? Did I take any pens from the company? Did I take any toothpicks from the company? Did I take any mints from the company? Did I make phone calls on the company time? No, I didn't do any of that. Did I make long distance calls on the company bill? No, I didn't steal. I'm not a ganav. Similar to what Moshe Rabbeinu said. Moshe said, Lo chamar achar mehem nasasi. Fine. But want to analyze a few highlights of the Haftarah from Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz, from the Chida, and from the Ben Ishchai. On the Pasuk, Hinenu anuvi neged Hashem neged Mashichai, Ashar mi lakachti, v'chamar mi lakachti, v'yasmi ashakti, yasmi ratsoisi, u'miyad mi lakachti choyfer. Did I take any illicit gain from anyone? Va'alam einai boy, and hide my eyes from him? Va'ashiv lachem, and I'll respond to you. I'll return it to you. So Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz says very interesting take here. Chazal tell us that if you're mevaza Talmud Chacham, you have to give a knas, you have to pay a knas, you have to pay a liter of gold. And what does the Talmud Chacham do with the money? He keeps it. That's what he does with it. Yachal Talmud Chacham likach la'atzmai a knas. That's called koifer nafshai, because the truth is the Chacham has the right, if somebody insults him, to kill the person. As we learned many times, the Chacham looked at him and the guy turned into a pile of bones. So the reason why the Chacham has a right to keep the money is because if somebody starts up, the Chacham could give, you know, one of those looks and the guy will disintegrate. So this is what Shmuel is saying. Es mi lakachti koifer, did I take money from anyone? Even though you insulted me, I didn't take koifer. If I don't take koifer, then I could look at you and cause you to disintegrate. No, va'alamein I buy, and I even hid my eyes from you, so I didn't cause you. Meaning, not only did I not take the money because you insulted me, but I could have used my X-ray vision on you, but I chose not to zap you. But the Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz continues this thing that based on this we could explain the flow of the psukim. Why? Because Klal Yisrael said that let us have a king like all the nations. Tana lanu melech kechal hagoyim. Now, the Zohar says that when Yidden fight, they fight, va'anachnu b'shem Hashem elekenu nazkir. Right? Hema karov v'nafalu, eile v'rechev, ve'eile v'asusim, va'anachnu b'shem Hashem nazkir. They fight with horses and with chariots, and we fight with the name of the Lord. We invoke the name of God, and that's what causes our enemies to be destroyed. Like David HaMelech says, "Vani basi alecha b'shem Hashem," but the Ummah Salam, they fight with swords. Now here's the thing. In order for a Jew to fight with the name of God, they have to be in the utmost of perfection. And they cannot rely, you cannot rely at all times on a miracle. Therefore, Klal Yisrael said, look, the truth is that if we would be worthy, we could fight with the name of God. But we can't rely on that. Maybe we won't be worthy. And therefore they asked for a king like all the nations. Because they didn't want to have to use the Shem Hashem. They wanted a king to go out to war before them. Now why did they want this? Because we find in the Zohar that a student once came before Rabbi Yehuda. And he asked of him, please teach me the Shem Hashem. And Rabbi Yehuda said, I'm not allowed to. Because it says, Ein ani rasho l'shtamish b'taga, because I'm a kohen, and a kohen cannot use the name of the Lord. Why? Because there's a rule that to use the name of the Lord, you cannot be dependent on others for livelihood. You cannot be dependent on the gifts of others. And kohanim take tshuma and meiser. If you want to use the Shem Hashem, you have to be independently supported. You can't be reliant on others. Meaning your spiritual capacity is capped when you're dependent on others. Nimtza, komishin etzdarach lebriyos, eino yachal l'shtamesh b'shem HaKodesh. Anyone who's dependent on others cannot use the holy name. And therefore, the psukim read like this. Klal Yisrael were drawn after illicit gain, meaning they wanted other people's money. If that's the case, they couldn't rely on the Shem Hashem. That's why in the Navi, right after it talks about Klal Yisrael's dependence on the money of others, they asked, Tana lanu melech kechalai goyim, because they were not able to rely on fighting with the Shem Hashem. So this is how Rabbi Yonasan explains the request of Klal Yisrael for a king in the aftermath of, it says they went after the Betza. Okay, now we go a little further. And it says, Kasher ba Yaakov Mitzrayim, when Jacob came down to Egypt, Vayizaku avaseichem el Hashem, and your forefathers cried out to God, Vayishlach Hashem es Moshe v'yes Aharon, Vayitzius avaseichem Mitzrayim, Vayashivam v'amakam hazeh. So it seems like a pretty simple pasuk. The only thing is, it's not true. When Yaakov came down to Mitzrayim, we cried out to Hashem. It took many, many years until the Shibud began. We had Yosef as a king. We didn't cry out to Hashem. So here's a very important idea. And that is why it was not really a good thing for the Jewish people to have a king. Why we never wanted to have a king. So the Yonis and Ibish says, Bir Lahem HaNavi. The Navi is explaining it's Kol Mifalois Hashem. All the acts of God. Asher Asa. And all the old days of yore that we existed without asking for a king. And the reason we didn't ask for a king is because a person cannot reach the highest levels if there's a king over him. You know what the proof is? The proof is when Yaakov came down to Mitzrayim, our ancestors cried out to Hashem, Miyad! They asked for Rachmanus for the Galus. Why would they ask for Rachmanus Miyad? Amnam haloi loy hoya hashibaraz. There was no bondage then, Kishaba Yaakov Mitzrayim. Yosef HaTzadik was the Melech. And Yosef was Ratzoy L'chol Echav. Not L'roi V'echav, L'chol Echav. So why would they have prayed as soon as they came down to Mitzrayim? You know why? It's because when Yosef told the brothers that you're going to bow down to me, what was the brothers' big problem? So Yosef's going to be the king. What could be wrong with a halachic theocracy? What's wrong if Yosef's the king? The answer is, Vayisnu Oisai, they wanted to kill him. How could they try to kill him? Why would they want to kill him? The answer is because if you have a king telling you how to serve Hashem exactly and what to do, you're capped, you're handicapped. You need a certain freedom of spirit. a king is going to handicap a person. And when Yosef told the brothers the dream, which was the inner recesses of his heart and his true desires, and that he wants to be the king over them, they wanted to kill him. Because if there would be a Jewish king, it would stifle the spiritual development of the Jewish people. So when the Jews got to Egypt, and they realized, oy vai, the dream of Yosef was Niskayim, they started to cry out to God immediately. They realized they're Taka and Golas. What do you mean Golas? They have freedom. They could serve. No, there's a Jewish king. Jewish dominion is a bad thing. So, Hayotzi Mizeh, says Rabbi Yonasan, She'ein Roy Klal, Uma Yisrael, She'yavdu L'melech. It is not ideal for the Jewish people to serve a king. So Hashem sent Moshe and Aaron. So how's that going to help? That wasn't Moshe the Melech? No, now there's a division of power. So that's... This demonstrates that it's not proper for Klal Yisrael to have a Melech. Because it says, Hashem said to Moshe, go to Mitzrayim. So Moshe said to Hashem, Shlach Nabi Atishlach. And Hashem said, Aaron, your brother, will be your Navi. So you could ask, why didn't Moshe go himself? Why does Moshe need a Navi? Let Hashem make Moshe the Navi. No. The gullus of Klal Yisrael was that they were nishtabe to one melech. And therefore, Moshe said, no. Moshe was nisatzel. He said, I don't want to take them out of Mitzrayim. Because if I'm going to say I'm going to take them out of Mitzrayim, they're going to think, okay, we used to have Yosef and now we have Moshe. They're not going to want that. You're going from one gullus to the next. So Hashem said, don't worry, Aaron Achicha Yiyah Nevi'echa. You're not the melech. It's the vision of power. Very interesting concept. Even though, ultimately, Klal Yisrael did have a melech. Melech David, Melech Shloimeh, were asid to have a melech. But Rabbi Yonasan is pointing out a certain pitfall in Malchus Yisrael. Okay, let's see another piece.
Were you allowed to have a melech before he was Sha'aretz? I thought that you weren't allowed to really have a melech until they already were settled in Eretz Yisrael.
They didn't ask for one. Now they asked for one. So what happened? Vatiru ki nachash melech b'nei amin. This is Pasuk Yud Beis. And they saw, and when you saw that Nachash, the king of the children of Ammon, came upon you, Vatimulu, you said to me, Loi, ki melech yimloch aleinu. We want a king. We want a king. Vatimulu, Loi, ki melech yimloch aleinu, Vashem lekech malcham. But Hashem, your God is your king. So Rabbi Yonasan Abishah says a very interesting thought here as well. He says, you have to understand, what's this week? This is Parshas Korach. In 2 weeks, we get to Parshas Balak. And Balak wants to start up with the Jews. Why does he want to start up with the Jews? What's his beef with the Jewish people? Why doesn't he like us? You know, the last thing you want to do is wake up a sleeping dog. You know, you have this dog who's salivating with big teeth and he's sleeping and you're walking down the street. Okay, well, you have two choices. You could quickly walk by, you could kick it in the neck. Right? Well, which, don't wake up a sleeping dog. So Balak sees the Jewish people are going through one land after another, utterly decimating any opponent. And he, what does he do? He starts up with us. Why does he want to start up with us? Why is he so foolish to start up with the Am Hashem, the chosen people of Hashem, who Hashem just took out of Mitzrayim? All the other nations of the world are melting, and Balak has an einfall. He's going to poke us. What's he thinking? So Rabbi Yonasan uses an approach, and I've seen him do this before. He says an interesting thing. Balak was an astrologer. He was a stargazer. And he saw that the next king of Klal Yisrael will be from Moav. By the way, Rabbi Yonasan Abishitz says the same approach with Achashverosh. Achashverosh is such a flip-flop. The whole Megillah, he's saying, I'll give you whatever you want, but not the Beis HaMikdash. Ad Chatzi HaMalchus. And Esther says, I'm a Jew. Oh, you're a Jew? Let's build the Beis HaMikdash. Stami seems like such a Shaita Shabbailam. The whole, he doesn't care about anything other than not building Beis HaMikdash. And then when Esther says, I'm a Jew, he says, okay, so let's go build the Beis HaMikdash. So Rabbi Yonasan uses a similar approach. He said, Achashverosh saw in his astrological signs that the next king of Persia will be a Jew. So he said, "Oy vey, the Jews are going to rebel. The only way to get the Jews not to rebel is if I never let them build the Beis HaMikdash. They never have a temple and they never have a seat of power. The only way not to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash is, what's the one thing that will ensure the Beis HaMikdash never will be rebuilt? Amalek, the existence of Amalek." So Achshir says, even though this guy Haman, I can't stand his guts. He's a Rasha Marusha. But if I promote him, that means Amalek is strong and they'll never build a temple. He didn't like Haman. He knew Haman was up to no good. But it's the only way to ensure the continuity of his malchus. But when Esther said, "I'm a Jew," then Achashverosh says, "Oh, that means my kid, the next king of Persia, is a Jew. Great! So the Jews are wonderful. I could build a temple and Haman, hang him." So, but it's all predicated on the fact that Achashverosh saw in his astrological signs that the next king would be a Jew. So he uses the same trick over here. Why did Balak want to start up with Jewish people? Because he saw the next king of Klal Yisrael would be from Moab. So he thought, it's him! So he sent Bilam to Pisar to conquer Eretz Yisrael. But Bilam said, no, when you see in your astrological signs that the next king of Klal Yisrael will be from Moab, it means from David HaMelech, who comes from Rus. That's what Bilam said. Erenu v'layata! It's not that you're going to be the king of Klal Yisrael. It's in the future. So likewise, Amon saw that there's going to be... That's why Amon started up with us. There's going to be a king over the Jewish people from him, which there was, Rechavam. So before there was ever a king over Klal Yisrael, they never wanted to start up with us, because they figured they'll be the next king. But after they heard that Shaul was the king, so Amon said, "What do you mean? It's supposed to be me." Okay, next offering. There's a pasuk that we say in the final pasuk of the Torah. Ki lo yitosh Hashem es amoy bavur shmei agadol ki hayil Hashem la'asoy seschem lo yiliyam. Okay, so everybody knows that the gematria of the word Yisrael is what? Very good, 541. What is the numerical value of the word Yisrael? 541. And which is not far from 613. How many is it off from 613?
72.
Very good. 72 off. With 72, Yisrael plus 72 is 613. Once we get to 613, that guards our 248 limbs and our 365 sinews. Therefore, only a Yid can be Makabel the Torah, because a Yid is 541, and we connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, let's learn an important thing. Yes, we've mentioned Hashem has 72 different three-letter names, but He also has a 72 name, one name of 72. How does it go? There are four different permutations of spelling Yud Kei Vav Kei. What does that mean? That means you could spell Yud Kei Vav Kei Yud Vav Dalet Hey Aleph Vav 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 Hey Aleph. So then it's 45. Right? You understand? Because the letter Hey, you could spell Hey Aleph. You could spell it Hey Yud. You could spell it Hey Hey. Yeah, is this clear? Yud is Yud Vav Dalet. There's no way around it. Hey is either Hey Aleph, Hey. Hey Aleph, Hey Yud, or Hey Hey. By the way, the Hey represents a woman. A woman is a Hey. Why? Because the woman is like the Dalet and the baby. The little thing is the baby. So she could have. One second. So she could have three kinds of babies. She could have the Hey Aleph, the Hey Hey, or the Hey Yud. How's that? The Hey Yud is with the male inside. The Hey Hey is the female inside. And the Hey Aleph. Okay, we'll leave it at that. Okay? So, but or twins or whatever it is, right? The letter He is the letter of the woman. That's why the Arizal says the He is the Kayach of Leda. Sarai couldn't have a baby. Sarah could have a baby. Rivka ultimately had a child. Leah has the He. She could have a child. Rachel has no He. So she said, take Bilha. She has two of them. Ulai ibane mimena. I could be nizbane from her extra He. The Arizal says, Hey, lochem zara. Hey is the letter of zara. Okay. So there are different ways to spell the hey. Therefore, when you spell out yud, kei, vav, kei, it could either add up to 45, which is mem, hey, or 52, or samach, gimel, 63, or 72. 72 is yud, vav, dalid, which is 20. Hey, yud, which is 15, that's 35. Vav, yud, vav, is 22. Right? Here, you have a pen? Let's write it out. There are different ways of spelling Vav. So Yud is Yud Vav Dalet is 20. Yes. Hey is Hey Yud is 15. Hey is Hey Yud is 15. So we're up to what? 50. So now we just need 22. So Vav is Vav Yud Vav, which is 22. Okay? That's the full spelling of the Yud K Vav K. You got it? Yud Vav Dalet, Hey Yud, Vav Yud Vav, Hey Yud. So Yisrael is what? 541. Hashem's full name, by the way, there are four parts of davening. There's the brachos, and by brachos you have in mind one way to spell Hashem's name, 52. And then there's Pesukei de Zimra, you have in mind a different way to spell Hashem's name, that's 45. And then there's brachos Krishma, you have in mind a different way to spell Hashem's name, that's 63. And then Shemana Esra, you have in mind the Atzilus, which is 72.
I have to keep all those in mind, Rabbi. I can't have a kabbalah.
You know, if you have to keep those all in mind, how is anyone ever going to be able to talk? It's terrible.
Yeah, well,
so you actually they no, it's not. It's just so you should know. They happen to have Sidurim now. That tells you exactly on top of the page what everything, where you are. I'm just telling you for your information. You do with it whatever you want, okay?
So,
just say the words.
That
people have a hard enough saying, just saying the word Baruch. There's no word Baruch. There's no such word. So, okay. So then there's Taf Kuf Mem Aleph 541 is Yisrael, plus 72 is the Shem Hashem. So it's like this. V'atem, you call Yisrael, hadveikim, b'Hashem Elokeichem. If you cling to Hashem, so now Yisrael is connected to 72, it's Chayim Kolchem Ayoim. Then you'll all be alive because you have 613. You have 613, and that will be Mechaye, your 613 limbs. Okay. Now there's another interesting Arizal. The Arizal says in the Kavanos of Tachnon on Monday and Thursday. We say in the Tachnon Monday and Thursday, Ve'ein mi yamoy ba'adenu. There is no one to stand up for us. Ela shimcha agadol yamoy lanu ve'ez tzara. There is no one to stand up for us. Only your great name. So the Arizal says, when you say shimcha agadol, you should have in mind the Shem Havaya with the Milo Yudin. It's called the Yud, the Hey with the Yud and the Vav with the Yud, the 72 letter. The reason is that 72 letter name is bigger than Sag, which is a 63, and the Ma, which is a 45, and the Ben, which is a 52. Right? There are four ways to spell Hashem's name. Also, what else is 72? Chesed is 72. So the end of the pasuk is like this. He says the 72, the name of Hashem, which is 72, is the secret of Abba, which is the site of Chachma and Kirachim of Abanim. Now he brings the Medrash when it says Ki Hoyal Hashem Lasis Eschem Loila Am. Hoyal, some say, is the language of a Shvua, like it says Vayoyal Moshe Lashev Es Asoish or Vayoyal Shaul. Fine. So it means like this. You ready? Back to the pasuk. Ki lo yitoish Hashem es amoy. God will not forsake His people. Why? Bavur Shmai HaGadol, because of His great name, His name of Milo Yudin. And by doing so, if Hashem will not forsake us because of His great name, when we connect to His great name, Yisrael 541 and 72, 613, and then we're all alive. This is a great reliance that we can rely on Him in a time of tzara. Like we say, Shimcha HaGadol Yamlan Beis Tzara. So we know God will not forsake us because of His great name, we could connect to that and be protected, that all of our 613 limbs will be guarded. And this will protect us from the Mekatrigim. Ki hoyal Hashem lasis eschem le'ilam. Hashem swore not to exchange us, that we will be His eternal inheritance. Therefore, He cannot destroy us even if we sin. Okay, Rabbi, so one more offering. So just remember that. Yisrael is 541 plus 72, that's 630. Let's say you say about a boy and a girl. He wanted to marry her. What does that sound like to you?
She doesn't
want to marry him. He wanted to marry her. Let's say, they just got engaged, and he wanted to be engaged to her. So that means she was not interested. What's halacha if someone is ma'anis a woman, someone rapes a woman, could he divorce her? No. You can only divorce her if you both consent, but if he coerces her, lo yuchal shacha koyama. Now when God married us, did He want to marry us, or was it both two-way street? He forced us. It was kaf aleim har kigigas. Why? So that He can never get rid of us. Because if he would ask us, are you interested? And we would have said yes, then that marriage would have lasted for 40 days. Because after the Cheder Ega. So Hashem, the Maral says, coerced us, He was ma'anis us, so that He can never get rid of us. So this is the meaning of the pasuk. Ki lo yitosh Hashem es amai. God will never forsake us. You know why? Ki hoyel Hashem. God wanted us to be His people, but we never wanted. We never agreed. Nobody asked us. So that's why Hashem can never get rid of us. Rabbi Isai, have a great Shabbos.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.